James Ennis, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you very much.
Now, you have such a long history with the TSO, I think almost 30 years, which, doing the math, made you a teenager when you made your debut with the orchestra. Do you remember that first concert?
I do. I remember it really clearly. I mean, it was this incredible opportunity for me. I think it was shortly before my 18th birthday, maybe. About 30 years ago. And it was a big blizzard in New York. I was in school and I almost missed it. Somehow or another, I think maybe I might even have missed the first rehearsal or something, but I did make it in time. It was with Victor Feldbrill, the dear departed Victor Feldbrill.
Oh, wonderful.
First of many. And this orchestra has meant so much to me professionally, but also personally. You know, so many of my really close friends are in the TSO, and it's just been a really wonderful thing for, you know, decades now.
Well, you've had a chance to watch the TSO grow and evolve over those three decades. Where would you say it is now, you know, relative to way back then?
You know, relative is very difficult to say. I mean, the orchestras, they change, they evolve. I mean, one thing that has been wonderful about the TSO over the decades I've known them is that they've always been a very special group, but they've been a different special group as things change, as they have. Right now, I think, is an incredibly exciting time. Gustavo Gimeno is a fantastic musician, wonderfully devoted to the orchestra, someone I just admire tremendously. And the personnel of the orchestra is at as high a level as it's ever been. So it's a very exciting time. But really, the TSO has an extremely illustrious history, you know, and as exciting as it is now, it's always been a great joy to play with them. I mean, they're a world-class orchestra and have been for generations.
Absolutely. Well, but to this exciting time that you mentioned, what does it mean to you as a spotlight artist this season to be part of this bold new beginning for the orchestra?
Well, it's a great honor, of course, to have been asked by the TSO. I think it's a reflection of the many wonderful projects we've done over the years. And I'd like to think it's a reflection of the close relationship I have with the other players, with Gustavo, with the management. They really have always made me feel like I am part of the TSO family. And that's incredibly important to me. You know, a lot of what I do is I go for a week here and a week there and a week the other place. And it's wonderful, but it's not always the deepest relationship. But the depth of the relationship that I've enjoyed with the TSO is remarkable and really special, and something that I'm immensely grateful for.
Now, in those ensuing 30 years, you have, in a sense, conquered the world as a violinist, including in 2006 winning a Grammy for your recording of Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto, which is the work that you are going to be performing quite soon with the TSO. Talk a little bit about your history with this concerto.
It's not a piece that I learned when I was super, super young. I first played it when I was maybe about 20, I think. And I was really happy to finally get to it because I'd gone to summer camp in the States and some of my friends had been studying it. And I thought, oh, what a gorgeous piece, you know, how incredibly beautiful it is and how exciting. In the year since I've been playing it, it became a bigger and bigger part of my repertoire. And that recording that I made with the dear departed Bramwell Tovey and the Vancouver Symphony, because it did receive the attention of the Grammy and the Juno and this and that, I think it led to a lot of performances of the piece for me, and something I always really enjoy playing. So to get to share that with the TSO and Maestro Gimeno is going to be great fun.
It does seem to me that it's one of those concertos in the repertoire that's heard less, you know, than the standard, the Bruch, the Brahms, the Beethoven, etc. Do you feel that you'd like it to be a bigger part of the repertoire, or more regularly heard?
Well, you know, it's funny, those conversations about repertoire, they're so specific, right? Like, I play it a lot. So to me, it's like, oh, it's a major part of the repertoire. I think there are places in the world where it is performed less. And I've gotten an immense amount of pleasure out of being the person to introduce it to certain audiences. I played it in Munich and there were various representatives there from the three of the major orchestras there. And as best as anyone could remember, no one had done it. So it was quite possible that it was the premiere in Munich, which seems just impossible, but there you have it.
Wow.
So for me, it's been a joy to introduce it to new places. And yeah, I think that it's the type of piece that is, it's so immediately ingratiating. Like, I think that if you're a good advocate for the piece, the piece speaks for itself and will become and remain, I think, a part of the repertoire. So now I think to the younger generations, I would like to think that the Barber Violin Concerto is in that sort of hallowed ground of the very standard repertoire.
With those listeners for whom it is their first time hearing it and you hear their feedback, what are the kinds of things that they say about the Barber Concerto?
Well, from the very opening, it's a little bit unusual in that the violin starts right from the very beginning and starts with such a meltingly beautiful phrase. I mean, it's an extremely lyrical piece. I think sometimes people think, well, it's a 20th century piece. You know, is it going to be somewhat more harmonically challenging or dense? And it really isn't. I mean, it's heartbreakingly beautiful. The first two movements are so lush and romantic. And then the third movement is just this fantastic virtuosic tour de force. So the proportions of the piece are unusual in a really fun and interesting way. I tell people who, you know, may not be familiar with Barber's music, if they know the adagio for strings, you know, from Platoon or something like that, that's Barber, and that's kind of the world that you hear in large sections of the first two movements. So, it's a very friendly and welcoming and beautiful piece. I think that's the biggest takeaway from listening to it.
I'm curious, when you speak of, you know, the really difficult or challenging virtuosic passages, you know, you're a very, very seasoned concerto player, but how do you prepare for those moments in a piece mentally? How do you not get psyched out? That kind of thing. I'm very curious.
I'm not in a great place to answer. It's like I've probably performed the piece somewhere between 75 and 100 times. So it's difficult to describe. It's not like it requires any special preparation for me at this point. But when learning it, there is a certain mental hurdle with the last movement because it's not terribly long, but it never, never stops. And you have to gain the experience of staying really, really in the zone and really focused because you can't stumble on the tightrope, so to speak.
Right.
But then what's really fun, of course, the more you do it, the more it becomes second nature, and then you can really start to enjoy it, which is the phase I've been in for the last many years.
Well, we very much look forward to you bringing your good friend, the Barber Concerto, to your great friends at the TSO at Roy Thomson Hall. James Ennis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.